Next on BYUSN, happy Sweet 16 Eve. BYU and Alabama have arrived in New Jersey. What's more important in the Cougars' next quest to upset the Crimson Tide? BYU's offense or defense? Plus, would a win over Alabama make this the best BYU men's basketball team ever?
AJ DiBonsa joins the show to discuss BYU's run to the Sweet 16 and what he thinks will be the key for BYU to beat Alabama. And former Cougar star and Alabama native Jeff Chapman gives us a unique look inside the matchup between the Cougars and the Crimson Tide.
BYU Sports Nation live at the Sweet 16 presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Greetings from the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. It is BYU, the sixth seed, taking on the number two seed Alabama tomorrow for a spot in the Elite Eight. I am Spencer Linton alongside one of the newest Jersey boys, Jerem Jordan.
Yeah, they asked me to put a little more product in my hair. I don't think I can. But it's great to be here, Spence. It's great for us to both be here at the Sweet 16. We've never said those words before in the history of the show. We're in the Prudential Center here in Newark, New Jersey, where Jimmer Fredette was drafted. This is where the draft was held in 2011, so a little bit of history there. New Jersey Devils playing here, so we look forward to the Utah Hockey Club perhaps winning here in the future as well. And it's exciting to be here, man. BYU's practicing today, media, getting ready for all this, and a big game tomorrow night.
It's a little chilly in the venue.
Yes, it's a little chilly.
Because it is a hockey arena, yep. But it's okay.
It's all right.
We're warmed inside, just like you would warm your crispified tater tots, Jerem. Another level to the Richie Saunders story has hit the national social media airwaves.
It's not Orida anymore. It's Or Richie. For the rest of the tournament, Orida announcing that they're Or Richie with the number 15. I hope he's getting every dollar that he can out of this situation. And I'm proud that we helped fan the flames
yes.
of this knowledge.
Yes.
Because ultimately it's down to F. Nephi Grigg who did the real work.
I know you may be getting a little tired of tater tot talk, but guess what? It's not going anywhere.
Because guess what? As long as we keep talking about tater tots, that means BYU's still in the tourney. So let's all the tater talk. Let's go.
The tater talk. I like that. On that note, all rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
BYU is one of the deepest, if not the deepest team in the country. Alabama is elite, no doubt about it.
They're a better Wisconsin. Yeah, they're another level.
This is the best offensive team that BYU has seen.
Hands down. These are two of the best teams in the country right now.
The tide's turning. You're not punking BYU. We're doing a punk.
One day more before BYU and Alabama take center stage at the Sweet 16 here in Newark. Much of the talk surrounding this game centered on two very high-powered offenses for good reason with BYU and Alabama. Not surprisingly, Jerem, a ton of points expected tomorrow. We kind of feel like it's going to be another 90-88 game.
It could be, man.
And that's what the experts are expecting, and that's what everybody has put together as a total point line. BYU, the clear underdog here. My question for you as we begin trending today is, what's more important for the Cougars to go and get that upset on their quest of another Elite Eight and beat Alabama? Is it the Cougars' offense, or is it their defense?
My first thought is, hey, you've got to outscore Alabama. So probably offense, but I think it's defense because Alabama's the number one offense in the country. If BYU does not slow them down at all, I don't think they win the game. Can BYU outscore Alabama just straight up? Sure. BYU's got an elite offense as well, but I think it's defense. Let's talk about some of the numbers. Number one in points per game, number four efficiency for Alabama. They've gone 90-plus 19 times. That's the most in D1. Like, this is the best offense in the country for Alabama. High usage guys. Let's talk about it. Mark Sears leads that way at 26% of the time he's on the court. He's going to shoot the ball. He has 189 more shots than the next closest teammate. Not a great shooter per se. 40%, 33% from three. He gets the line a lot. 232 times, 85%. Does that sound like anyone? John Tanjay from last week, right? Tanjay was even better. Aiden Holloway, a sophomore transfer from Auburn. He's at about 25% usage. Keep an eye on him as well. To me, rebounding is a big deal. That's
yes.
on both ends of the court, Spence. Number one rebounding team in the country is Alabama. Three dudes average six or more boards. BYU's got one of those in Kay Bakeda. Grant Nelson leads it at 7.5. Cliff Omori at 6.7. By the way, Cliff was at Rutgers last year with Mawit Mag. Rutgers just minutes away from where we're standing, so Mawit Mag knows this place, knows this area. And then Mo Diabate at 6. So you got to slow down the high usage guys. You got to rebound. And if BYU does, I don't think they even have to be great at it. Just enough to give their offense a chance to outscore Alabama.
By the way, BYU has taken the floor for the shoot around at the Prudential Center. Jerem, watching Alabama's game against St. Mary's, it was very evident that the Gales wanted to muddy things up and be physical. And they actually did a pretty good job slowing down Mark Sears, Alabama's All-American scorer. But what they didn't do was keep Alabama off the glass. Alabama got after it. And so, for me, I'm with you. I think this is BYU's defense, specifically their ability to attack the glass with Kay Bakeda and going and getting all those 50-50 basketballs. That has to happen in a game like this that we feel is going to come down to maybe one possession. You just got to make the clutch plays late. And BYU did that defensively against Wisconsin. It feels like they're going to have to do the same thing against Alabama.
Yeah.
Make a clutch play late defensively, whether it's Trey Stewart or Mewit Mag or Kay Bakeda or somebody else. They're just going to have to hunker down and slow down the list of stars that you just presented. Really, on the glass, Jerem, you can create some big-time momentum. BYU always wants to play with pace, right? That starts with securing defensive rebounds, and Alabama is so good on the offensive glass. So, for me, it starts there. You have to go and protect the glass. BYU's got to make those clutch plays late defensively. I'm giving the edge to the BYU defense.
Hey, Kevin Young is with us right now. And,
oh, my gosh!
What's up? How are we doing, Kevin? Good to see you, man.
That worked out.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
How you feeling after the trip over to Newark?
Feeling good, man. Yeah, it's just exciting time, man. Feeling good.
What do you want to accomplish in this practice today?
Man, just trying to get, a lot of the stuff we've been talking about with the guys kind of crystallized, get a chance to continue to walk through it on the floor. Obviously, get in the building, too, and just get shots up in here and kind of get that flight out of us a little bit.
What's your early message to your team before the game tomorrow?
I mean, we've been really focused on that. Focus and urgency. Those have been the kind of the two key words we've been using. I think with all the stuff that goes on with this tournament, you can kind of get lost. So just trying to keep the main thing, just focus on the game plan. And that's served us well so far.
Do you have history in this gym, or had the Nets already moved when you were with the Sixers?
They already moved. I was just telling someone else, but one of my really good friends is he runs the Prudential Center. He's the president of the New Jersey Devils. We worked together when I was with the Sixers, so I actually just got a chance to catch up with him. I've never actually played in here, but hopefully that's a good omen.
Tell me you got the VIP entrance at least.
We're good, dude. If we need anything here, we're good. Yeah.
You went long sleeve. It's cold in here. That's a veteran
chill.
Move.
Yes, that move for sure. I know the East Coast.
Coach, I know you got to get the shoot around, but good to catch up with you a bit. And good luck at the shoot around today and tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Yep.
Hey, he's got stuff to do. He's got a team to coach.
Yeah, he's got
to
go.
Let's go.
He's got to go.
Hey,
okay.
Who else is giving you that access, by the way? Kevin Young walking out here chatting. Let's go.
That's why we're here.
Tyson Jecks.
That's why we're
here. Thank you.
Okay, so safe to say we are settled on BYU's defense being the maybe by a hair more critical element.
Yes.
Because, come on, we know that they need to score. They need to do what they have done against the likes of Iowa State twice and Arizona and Baylor and Wisconsin. Yes, BYU's offense is going to have to be great. But to me, can you make the play when it matters most in the clutch?
There's no way this is St. John's, Arkansas, where everyone just shoots like sub 30%, right? There's no way. The offenses are too good.
I hope not. No, we got to trust what these teams have shown us all year long.
We believe them, who they are. Okay. Kevin Young has led BYU to the Sweet 16, just the third time for BYU, 81, 2011, now 2025. They didn't have the National Player of the Year, like we talked about. This is a great team for BYU. Would a win over Alabama, getting to the Elite Eight, make this the best team in BYU history?
Why do we have to always discuss the hard questions?
Like, that's what the show is, dude.
This is such a tough question to answer. If BYU beats Alabama and gets to the Elite Eight, because they're doing it as a Big 12 team and have gone through a schedule like BYU has never faced
before. Take me there, Spence.
Then, yes, this would be the greatest BYU men's basketball team in the history of the sport in Provo. Come on. 123 years we've been doing this. This would be the best team ever on the BYU men's side. Hear me out. I know that Danny Ainge and Jimmer Fredette were the national players of the year. They were incredible individual players. Obviously, Jimmer only got to the Sweet 16, didn't have the full arsenal with them when he was there. Danny Ainge took BYU to rarefied air when he got BYU to the lead. But They were in the WAC. Didn't BYU finish third that year?
Yeah, finishing third is a good thing, though. BYU did that this year, too, Spence, but the Big 12.
Finishing third in the Big 12.
Now, granted, the WAC was pretty good back in 81.
Utah was a top 10
team. San Diego State was legit, too.
Wyoming was good.
A lot of NBA guys. I'm not there like you are because the way that BYU did it was so memorable and dramatic. If BYU wins on a buzzer beater against Alabama, perhaps.
It would take one of those special March moments.
Because the sixth seed in 81, BYU, beat three seed UCLA in the second round. They pounded them, by the way. BYU won dramatically against Wisconsin. You remember a close game more than a blowout. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
The next game, BYU beats a two seed in Notre Dame at the buzzer with Danny. Essentially, it's not a buzzer beater. It's like
one of the iconic March Madness moments. It shows up every time March Madness starts. Like, you'll see Danny Ainge down the floor, the layup to beat Notre Dame.
So for me, BYU would have to get to the Final Four to be the greatest team in BYU history.
Okay.
Like, if they beat Alabama, to me, they approximate 81. And then 2011 is just, we don't know what they would have done with Brandon Davies. We just don't know. We'd like to think they would have beaten Florida with Brandon, and then they would have beaten Butler. And then they would have beaten VCU, and they would have played Duke in the final. We hope for a Duke matchup Saturday night here. Come on.
This has elements, this conversation, because it's old school versus modern era.
Right.
It's almost like Jordan versus LeBron.
Well,
who's the greatest?
Well, it's like Bill Russell versus the field, right? 11 titles. Don't we count winning for something?
Yeah.
Different era. Eventually in 50 years, you won't be able to compare Ainge to Jimmer to A.J. DeBonsa to future Cougs. Did you see the AI thing the other day where BYU's winning the title and, like, three national titles in the future?
Did I see it? Yeah, I celebrated it.
Well, Utah State had one, so I don't know how credible that was. But
yeah, for me, because of the Big 12 gauntlet, like, no BYU team has ever gone through this type of schedule.
And I see the argument there,
Face this level of competition, mostly game in and game out through an entire Big 12 slate. And to do it, 11 wins in 12 games?
Unbelievable.
I mean, how many ranked wins happened in there? Five?
Well, I think with Wisconsin, you had a fifth.
Is that
five? Going for 6 and 7 this week.
And Wisconsin was, what, number 13 going into the NCAA tournament?
Yes.
It's another top 15 win for BYU, coupled with beating Iowa State twice and Arizona. This is a remarkable run that BYU has.
Absolutely.
Was on. And I'm glad we're having the conversation.
If BYU beats Alabama, it'll be fun because there will be an argument. I mean, maybe right now there is too, given what BYU's done with the whole season. But again, you're defined by what you do in the postseason. And here, tomorrow night, BYU have a chance to make a legit argument. They are the best team in program history.
We want your opinions, okay? Our question of the day, what does this BYU team have to do to become the best team in program history? Our first response in from at TrueBlueBYU1984, who answers on X, and I quote, Final Four. But that's so much to ask with a first-year head coach. So happy where they've got to this point with the Sweet 16. It's all gravy from here on out.
I think a lot of people feel that way, like, hey, winning the one game was great. I don't get the sense from talking to Kevin Young a moment ago and last week when we were in Denver. These guys are hungry. They think they can win not just tomorrow but Saturday. Like, you get to Saturday after Thursday night, you got to go there, obviously, and win that game. But, like, this team's confident. They have no reason to feel otherwise.
BYU has earned the right to feel confident about being in the Sweet 16.
They
absolutely belong here.
Yeah. Okay, next response. Cougs by 30. That's the Twitter handle on X. Final Four would solidify them as the best team ever, but an Elite Eight would solidify them as one of the best teams ever. I think right now going to the Sweet 16, they're already top three. I put them in the top three right away.
If you want the conversation to stop and end with this team, yes, they've got to get to the Final Four. But if they get to the Elite Eight, then it's like, oh, man.
Right? I acknowledge 51-66 winning the NIT. But they were both similar, and the NIT had a lot more respect at that point and whatnot. I just think, what BYU's done in the modern era in the toughest conference it's ever been in, national stage, the exposure, they're legit, man, and they can solidify being top two, probably, with a win tomorrow.
Next opportunity to make a massive statement. BYU, of course, if they beat Alabama, would take on the winner of Duke and Arizona. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join this weighty social media conversation.
How fun is this? We're in the Prudential Center. BYU's warming up behind us for practice. This is awesome, man. We'll continue to have live coverage from Newark, New Jersey, as BYU Sports Nation continues throughout the week. We'll have interviews on our YouTube channel as well. It's all coming up this week. Kemp, can't wait. So excited to be here.
Let's go. After the break, my one-on-one conversation with BYU signee A.J. DeBonta about BYU's run to the Sweet 16, why he believes this is just the beginning for the Cougars, and how does he rate Kevin Young's gritty in the locker room? Hard-hitting journalism on the way on BYU Sports Nation. BYU Sports Nation continues live from the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey, on the eve of BYU's Sweet 16 showdown with the Crimson Tide of Alabama. Spencer Linton here. Jerem Jordan will join us again shortly. BYU just began, by the way, their closed portion of today's practice, so we have taken our tour of the building into another location, and we will now take this show into our latest all-access interview with the number one high school player in the country and BYU signee. He is AJ DeBonta. What's his key to the Cougars beating Alabama, his favorite March Madness memories, and how does he rate Coach Kevin Young's post-game celebratory dancing?
AJ, officially welcome to a Sweet 16 edition of our weekly interview with you. How are you feeling about the Cougs advancing on in the bracket in Denver and getting to the Sweet 16 for just the third time ever?
It was great. I didn't get to watch the game because I was playing, but my dad came in the locker room after and told me that we made the Sweet 16. So that kind of, even after a loss, it made me smile.
So much social media reaction, understandably, followed BYU's win, and a lot of the nation was paying attention. So what did you like that you saw after the fact and how the nation reacted to what BYU was doing?
I mean, any March Madness win, because it's March, like, has a big reaction. But, I mean, since it was a closed game, obviously everybody likes those closed games, and we only won by two. So I think that's really what sparked all the crowd and all the reactions.
And you told me before you want no part of Mwet Mag playing defense against you. And John Tonjay got shut down on that last play. So how did you assess Mwet's defense in helping BYU secure that win?
Well, I done defender. I don't know if they gave all defensive team awards for Big 12, but he deserves to be on it.
No doubt about it. What do you make of the bench that BYU has, AJ? Because they play 10 or 11 deep. How do you think they're pulling this off when they have such a big rotation?
I mean, they have fresh guys. March Madness can get tiring because every possession matters. You're running up and down the court. So, I mean, if you have fresh legs and fresh guys, I mean, it could take your starters out for a little quick breather and they can come back in at the end of the game.
AJ DeBonta is on BYU Sports Nation. I have to ask what you think about all of this tater tot madness surrounding Richie Saunders.
I mean, I hope it's true, because I do like tater tots. Like, I be eating tater tots, not too often, but here and there, like, I do order some tater tots at whatever meal it is. So, I mean, if that means free tater tots, hey, I'm all for it.
You're a guy that can appreciate high-level basketball and high-level individual basketball. What do you think of Richie's development? What are you seeing from him that's allowed him to go next level?
Nah, it's just unbelievable. Like, he's turning into a March Madness legend. I see somebody post, I don't know who it was, they said, next BYU's March Madness legend, and he's proven it. So,
AJ, BYU has jokingly for years said, we want Bama. Well, now they got Bama. What do you think of the matchup with one of the best offenses in the entire country?
Yeah, going to be a great matchup. I think two of the best offensive teams in the country both shoot a lot of threes, both hit a lot of threes, can score in a variety of ways. So I think it's going to be a lot of a defensive scheme this game rather than an offensive scheme. We have to slow them down rather than us scoring a lot. So it'll be a tough matchup because they have a lot of guys. But, I mean, I think we can get it done. I'll try to be in attendance at that game because I'll be in New York for 2 days before. So they might have my physical support. But, I mean, if I'm not there, they're going to have my virtual support.
Yeah, no question. I think people are joking first team to 100 wins. What's it like to play in that type of wide open game? Because I know you've been in those types of games, not necessarily at the college level. That's to come. But, like,
you've been in high scoring games. What's that atmosphere and the feeling of a game like that like?
Yeah, I'll say those are more of the exciting games because it's more back and forth action because nobody's getting stopped because everybody's scoring. So it's like you score, I score, you score, I score. But I mean, when that I think it's gonna be that last 4 minutes of play is where both teams are probably gonna lock in defensively and it's whoever has the better scheme.
AJ DeBont says once again on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, before we turn the page to what you're doing in your prep career and the final days of high school basketball before you transition into BYU, just kind of want to get your sense of March Madness overall. What's it like watching the tournament right now, knowing that, hey, next year you believe strongly you will be there and make a run with BYU?
Yeah, I mean, I've always grew up, everybody, I think, all high-level basketball players grew up watching March Madness, but now since I know where I'm going to school, it makes March Madness even, like, more fun because, like, you're rooting for a specific team. So, I mean, and then just watching them play, watching how hard they play, and then seeing all, like, the blue in the stands, it's just exciting, like, to be there next March or next April. I'm just looking forward to it.
You mentioned Richie Saunders is putting his name in there with other March Madness legends. Like, who are some of the legends that you grew up watching in this tournament?
So like, I don't even have names. Like there's so many people that like last year was Jack Golkey.
Yes.
Name. But there's been so many guys that just hit unbelievable shots. Like I can't even think of it. I think my first memory was probably like the Villanova shot to win it.
Mm. Yes. Yes.
I can't remember his name, but yeah, I think Jalen Brunson was on the team, if I'm not mistaken.
It was Chris Jenkins, I believe, that hit that game-winning shot for Villanova, and he received a pass from Archie Diacono. That was an unbelievable moment, one of the top all time, no doubt about it. Okay, speaking of tournament play, you just wrapped up tournament play in your own bracket in very competitive competition. So I know your team didn't win at all, AJ, but how did you feel like you and the team performed overall?
I mean, we've been through a lot this season, as a lot of people know, but like coaching changes and all that. So, I mean, a lot of people didn't even think we'll make the first round of playoffs. So for us to even be in the final four was something special. And we were proud. I was proud of my guys. Coaches was proud of us. So, yeah, I mean, we thought we should have won it, but I mean, Final Four, I mean, it's really hard to even get to the Final Four. So, I mean, we're happy.
AJ DeBont is on BYU Sports Nation. I know I've asked you this before, but just confirming, are you going to prom, dude? Are you going to go to prom?
No, I'm not. I don't even think our school has a prom. I won't be attending prom, sadly.
Okay. Well, you're an eligible bachelor. That is no question. AJ, what advice do you have to BYU as they move to Newark, New Jersey and get ready for one of the biggest games in the history of the entire BYU basketball program?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say defensive scheme this time. I mean, we're going to do what we're going to do on offense, but I think we have to lock in defensively to be able to win the game. I'm going to try to be at the game since I'm going to be in New York 2 days before. So they'll have my support if I'm there. I mean, I'm going to be supporting regardless, but they'll have my physical support if I'm there. So, yeah.
If BYU gets past Alabama, then there's a good chance that they will take on Duke. If it's not Duke, it's Arizona. They know Arizona. But what do you think about the potential of a BYU-Duke Elite Eight matchup?
Crazy matchup. I mean, Duke's who they are. They're who they are for a reason. Obviously, Cooper Fly, but they have other guys, Patrick, Konkanipul. Like, they have guys. And it's gonna be a tough matchup because I know John Sire is a great coach, but that's gonna have to be another defensive game plan.
Great stuff with AJ DeBont. Okay, we'll as we always do, finish with some quick hitters, some fan submitted questions. One of them is, if AJ were a coach and we're gonna give one current NBA star the ball in his hands at the end of the game, who would he give it to and why?
Nah, I think everybody know the answer. Kevin Durant getting the ball. I don't even have to explain myself.
Just straight up. Okay.
Down to him.
Let's say, okay, aside from KD, let's say KD's not available. Who's the guy after KD?
Paul George. A healthy Paul George. He's getting the ball.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so if it's not Kevin Durant, it is Paul George. Hey, then somebody asked, how does AJ celebrate a big win in his career? Is there food involved? Like, what? How do you celebrate, man?
After locker room, play some music, jump up and down, and then, yeah, probably celebrate with the family, eat, either with the team or with the family.
Okay. And then this third one is, this one came in recently. What do you think of Kevin Young's gritty in the locker room after the win against Wisconsin?
Yeah, I actually posted that. I actually like laughed out loud when I seen that. A little uncoordinated. We might have to work on that. But for a new, let's call it the newcomer gritty, it was all right. But I did laugh at it, though.
So. Oh, so good. So, so good. AJ, always good to catch up with you, man. We wish you the best of luck getting through school and through the McDonald's All-American process. We're thrilled for you, man. As always, go Cougs, brother.
Always go Cougs.
For the record, I'd actually put my own newcomer gritty up against head coach Kevin Young's. A conversation for another day. If you miss any of our NCAA tournament coverage, whether it's reveling in the Denver dominance last week or embracing the pregame buildup here in New Jersey, you can go to the BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel for in-depth interviews, reaction, and much more. After the break, Alabama native and former BYU basketball great Jeff Chapman with a unique perspective on tomorrow's matchup, why he's very confident BYU can beat the Crimson Tide as we continue live from New Jersey at the Sweet 16 on BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Chapman, excellent turnaround. Chapman coming right at you for BYU, number 24.
Team started 7-2. This is Chapman back the other way.
Chapman, he's so tough down low. Goes into Chapman.
Chapman turnaround.
Getting him the ball in the right place.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation from Newark, New Jersey at the Prudential Center. The Sweet 16 upon us tomorrow night, BYU and Alabama. I'm Jerem Jordan. Perhaps no one better in the world is more prepared to talk about the matchup of BYU and Alabama than former Cougar great Jeff Chapman, who is from Alabama, loves the Cougs, pays attention to the Crimson Tide, and had some great insight in our conversation yesterday about this Sweet 16 matchup.
Jeff, as a guy who grew up in Alabama and has deep roots there, but obviously played and starred at BYU, how do your emotions settle in over this Sweet 16 matchup between the Crimson Tide and the Cougars?
Well, there's no emotions. Of course, blood is thicker than water. So I'm going for the Cougs all the way. Alabama is my second basketball team, but this week it is all Cougs.
Give us a sense of the excitement level about this matchup, given your history and given the matchup, because these are two of the best offensive teams in the nation.
Yeah, I'm very excited because, as I said, Alabama is my second favorite team. And they play a style similar to BYU where they're up and down. They want to shoot a lot of threes. They want to pressure you on defense and try to turn you over so they can run out and get shots up before you can set your defense. And, you know, Alabama is the team I wanted to play on when I was in high school. And they told me I wasn't good enough. And then BYU came along. Yeah, that's what they told me to my face. It was pretty interesting. And then a funny story. We were playing in a game once my senior year at BYU. And the assistant coach who came to recruit me and told me I wasn't good enough saw me play. And, of course, I was All-American that year. And he said, hey, I want you to know that I took a lot of flack not recruiting you and signing you in Alabama. And he says, I didn't know you were going to improve that much.
And you're like, well, your boy's on the other side now, and let's make this happen. When did Alabama start caring about basketball, by the way? Because they've gone to three straight Sweet 16s, the Final Four last year. This is Roll Tide, Houndstooth, Nick Saban, and all the history there, but now they're good at basketball.
Yeah, the only person more popular than Nick Saban and Bear Bryant in Alabama is Jesus. other than that, those two
That's great.
Those two are right there. And let's be frank, they still don't care about basketball. They care about basketball when you're winning, when they're winning. If they're not winning, they don't care at all. It's football, football, football.
Jeff, you were part of a magical BYU basketball team in the 87-88 season that got as high as number four and number two in one poll. And then Alabama-Birmingham, speaking of Alabama, came along and knocked you off. But the point is, you played on a very high-level, cohesive, experienced BYU basketball team that did some awesome things. What type of similarities are you seeing in this year's team compared to that team you played on in 87-88?
Well, both teams play at a high confidence level. I've been very impressed with how much confidence this BYU team plays on. And when they started the rugged Big 12 schedule, you know, and they got through that, which is a gauntlet, and their confidence level just got better and better. In fact, you know, they've won 11 out of the last 12. You can't do that unless you have high confidence. My teams I played on back in the day, started the season 17-0. We had a really, really, really high confidence level, too. So that's why I think it's very similar. Plus, you know, having great players, this BYU team has great players. They're deeper than my team. They, you know, we play seven guys. These guys play 10 to 11 and getting high quality minutes from all of them. That's the difference. But we like to, you know, back then shoot the three. We like to run as well and pressure defense as much as we could.
Is the 88 team, which started 17-0, had a shot at being the number one team. Unfortunately, we talked about the UAB thing. You guys won a game in the NCAA tournament. You were the four seed. You beat Charlotte. You lost to Louisville, the five seed. Is that the best BYU team that didn't make a Sweet 16, in your opinion?
I think the best team that didn't make the Sweet 16 was Mark Pope's 2020 COVID team.
Oh, we never saw it. It was such a bummer.
So they can take us away from that, and we'll give it to them. We'll let them take the pressure and forget about our team.
Speaking of head coaches, Kevin Young in his first year, in a word, unbelievable what he has done for this BYU program. Jeff, from your standpoint as a former player and watching with the wide-angle lens and having so much wisdom in your years, what are you seeing from Kevin Young as to why you believe he has been so successful so quickly?
Well, he has a system, and he has figured out a way to get his team and his players to buy into the system. You know, it's a cliche, but it is true. And like I said, they have a lot of great players. They are deep. Every player they have on that team was not just good high school players. They were stars. They were four stars, three stars. I mean, just the best player. He has figured out a way to get them not to care about themselves, but only care about the team and his system. And he makes some of the best adjustments I've seen on the fly. And he has those assistants helping him, and they'll watch the team, what they're doing. He'll call a timeout. He uses timeouts great, and he'll make the adjustments, and he has these guys believing and playing their tails off.
Back to the Alabama thing. I'm just noticing that your junior and senior years, BYU played in Birmingham, Alabama. They catered the entire tournament just to you, send you back home? That's pretty incredible.
Well, back in the day, because of the non-BYU Southern Sunday play, the Southeast Regional was the only one that was Thursday, Saturday. Now they got it all mixed up. So if we were going to play, we had to play back in Birmingham or Atlanta or somewhere like that.
Which you were fine with.
Absolutely. My junior year, we played in Birmingham, which is 45 minutes away from my house.
Oh, amazing.
And then my senior year, we played in Atlanta, which is 90 minutes from the house I grew up in.
Jeff, we've spoken with a number of analysts about what BYU has to do to beat Alabama and get to an Elite Eight, maybe matching up with Duke. If not Duke, then it's Arizona. But first things first, Alabama. And they keep pointing to, one, take care of the ball, two, just get after it on the glass and limit Alabama and their offensive rebounding. Would you add anything else to that secret formula for BYU to get to what would be their second Elite Eight ever?
one of the biggest weaknesses for this Alabama team is turnovers. They can be turned over. I would apply the pressure and try to get as many turnovers as possible. The great thing about this BYU team is if they can get, they get out on turnovers. So they get a turnover, they just don't walk the ball up. They get out and they can score on you on bunches. So I would add turn Alabama over because they are prone to that. And most of their losses is when they've had a lot of turnovers.
Jeff, the great thing is this is not a seven-game series, right? This is one game for all the marbles to get to the Elite Eight. What? How does BYU do it? Because they certainly can score the basketball, so can Alabama. Can BYU slow down Alabama just enough?
They can. And what you already said, they cannot give up offensive rebounds. And they can't turn the ball over themselves. And what they're going to do better in St. Mary's is BYU can make shots. They have shot makers all over the place. St. Mary's had a lot of opportunities. In fact, St. Mary's had 70 shots.
Whoa.
And they only made 24. And St. Mary's, what they did was they sped St. Mary's up. You can't speed BYU up. They are already want to get out and run. And so I think that will be a great advantage to them because we will make the shots that St. Mary's missed.
Doing some quick math, 24 out of 70 is what, 34, 35%?
34%.
Not great.
Yeah, I was a math guy. 34%. Not
nice.
Good.
Both of you. Nice. Okay.
We believe BYU is going to shoot better than that, no doubt about it.
They are. And another great thing about Alabama is they shoot 35% as a team from three, but they hold their opponents under around 30%. And if BYU can just match that, the Cougars are going to be okay.
All right, Jeff, we've saved maybe the most controversial question for last, but if you were in your prime taking on the great Michael Smith in his prime in a one-on-one matchup, who wins that game?
Well, that's easy. We already played each other in our prime, and I came on top every time.
I'm going to hear from Mike.
Yeah, you Smitty will tell you. I used to take him apart. He'll tell you. You go ahead and tell him. Call him in between his breaks of being, talking on the Jazz. And he does a fantastic job
The
Jazz. I love hearing Mike talk with the Jazz. He's great. But what people don't realize that, I had a 39-inch vertical, and I said, but the key for me with my defense is I have a 7'1 wingspan, and that bothered a lot of people, and it bothered Smitty, so I wouldn't let him shoot. Once Smitty shot, it was going in.
Yeah, he's awesome. He was great. You both were great.
Awesome.
Fantastic
awesome
stuff. Jeff, good to catch up with you, my friend. And
Shout out Vancouver area.
You're all in on the Cougs.
All the BYU fans in the Portland area. I know you're in the area there. Shout out to the 306 and the 503, man.
306. You know it.
Love it.
And I'll see you guys in Newark.
Heck yeah.
Way tomorrow.
Let's go,
baby.
Jeff's going to be in the house.
Absolutely.
Love
the BYU
here.
Avengers assemble. Let's go.
Hey, Jeff, thanks so much for the time, man. Good to talk with you.
Love you guys. Take care.
Love you too, Jeff. If you miss any of our coverage from last week in Denver or this week in New Jersey, you can go to the BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel. Still to come, BYU softball wins its fifth straight game in dominant fashion. Plus, where does Yegor Demon land on the latest NBA draft big board from ESPN? Headlines are next as BYU Sports Nation continues from Newark, New Jersey.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store. Official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation rolls on live from the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey, where BYU and Alabama will go head-to-head with a spot in the Elite Eight on the line. That in mind, let's discuss your Wednesday headlines.
Six-seed men's basketball landed in Newark yesterday for the Sweet 16, just under 4 hours on that charter for the boys this morning. As you saw, they held a practice on the court. Later this afternoon, we'll post interviews that We did with BYU. We'll talk to Alabama as well on the BYU Sports Nation YouTube channels. We'll air many of those coming up on tomorrow's show with pregame coverage.
BYU freshman point guard Yegor Demin, currently the number 12 overall prospect on the latest NBA draft board from ESPN's Jonathan Givony and Jeremy Wu. Givony stating that Demin's stock is rising, saying Yegor, quote, looked confident and aggressive and had some strong moments making passes all over the floor, showcasing his outstanding court vision and playmaking prowess, end quote. Demin and BYU tip off against Alabama tomorrow, 7:09 p.m. Eastern on CBS.
I can't think of a more random time to have a basketball game. BYU softball beat Utah Valley 14-0 last night to win their fifth straight game to improve to 20-6 on the season. How about freshman Ilovea Brittingham homered twice in the win, including a grand slam, drove in six. Kate Daly got the win after pitching five innings, allowed just three hits, struck out five. Up next, BYU plays its home opener tomorrow in the first of a three-game series against number 11 Arizona.
That team is rolling. BYU men's golf, had it rolling of sorts. On their way to a third-place finish at the Bridgestone Invitational in Napa Valley, California, BYU climbed five spots in the final round after shooting 18 under par combined yesterday as a team. Cole Ponich led the way for BYU, shooting seven under par to finish tied for fifth individually. He was on a birdie burner. Zach Jones took seventh overall at four under par for his highest or best finish of the season, rather. Up next, BYU back in action tomorrow at the Goodwin Invitational hosted by Stanford.
And women's golf currently in fifth place, entering the final round of the Dr. Donis Thompson Invitational in Lahaina, Hawaii. MJ Berrigan and Alex Udom are each tied for 14th to lead the way for the Cougars. BYU tees off in the final round later this afternoon.
We will appropriately cap the show and bring you one of the interviews we just picked up as Dawson Baker gives his take on BYU preparing for Alabama and more from our question of the day. Would a win to get BYU to the Elite Eight make this the best team ever? Stay with us on BYU Sports Nation. BYU Sports Nation rolls on live from the Prudential Center, home of the NHL's New Jersey Devils.
Let's go, Utah Hockey Club. Come on,
the
boys.
Sweet 16 and Elite Eight over the next few days alongside Jerem Jordan. I'm Spencer Linton, as promised, and fresh out of the BYU locker room, we've got some sound from one Dawson Baker.
Yeah, Dawson was alone in the locker room in that famous video that came out just a couple of days ago. Got some great insight into that. It was kind of the last interview of the media portion time, so I got the wrap signal. So it's just about 2 minutes, but here's my conversation from just a few minutes ago with Dawson Baker. All right, Dawson, how nice is it to be in the locker room with the rest of your teammates?
Yeah, this is great. I like being in the locker room when the guys are here, too. That's really fun.
What was your reaction to that video? Because I assume you didn't know there was a camera there.
Yeah, no, it's funny because I had no idea. And Coach KY, when we got back to Provo, he told me, he's like, hey, did you see that video? I was like, what are you talking about? It's like they captured you kind of watching the game at the end. I was like, what the heck? How'd they do that? So apparently they had a little GoPro. I kind of hit it in the corner or whatever.
But they're ready.
They're ready. They got me. So that was funny. I just kind of mentioned, I was like, that's how I watch Laker playoff games normally. You know, I just get really into it and stuff. And so, yeah, super excited to see the guys come back to the locker room for sure.
I assume you ran out to the court once the game was over. Is that where you went?
I did, and then I got pulled back in the locker room. So I didn't
you wanted to celebrate. Long.
I wanted to go to cheer with the guys, but I had to stay there. So I was in timeout for a little bit, yeah.
I hope they change that rule because that was weird and unnecessary. Targeting in football, they used to do that. You have to leave. Now they can stay. What was that like watching by yourself the guys finish off Wisconsin?
It was stressful the way the game went. They were kind of creeping slowing the lead down a little bit, and so it kind of got me worried a little bit. But it was just a weird, surreal moment where it was like, how did I end up here, and how am I in the locker room watching this game right now? But it was super excited to see the guys win and just like – I was just so stoked, you know, like so excited to see the guys come back to the locker room and get to embrace them and stuff. And so it was just a cool moment. It's different, unique moment. Never would I expected to enter the Sweet 16 in the locker room like that, but definitely made, you know, a good moment out of it, I guess.
Did you think you were out for this game potentially?
I didn't think about that. I didn't think so.
And they told you in the locker room, yeah. I think.
And so they told me, hey, you're good for the next game. I didn't even know that was in the conversation, but I'm glad I'm able to play.
What's the key to slowing down Alabama?
They're gotta be heavy in our shifts. I mean, they got a lot of guys that can get to the paint really well, so we gotta help each other out a lot, build the walls, and force them to play with each other. And so, I mean, there's a lot of things that are gonna help us do that. I mean, but as we're in a defending as a unit, I think is going to be a big thing, and rebounding, and we'll be good.
Okay, have fun and good luck.
Okay, appreciate it.
Dawson Baker on BYU Sports Nation live from New Jersey. How crazy is it that he didn't know that video had actually occurred until his head coach told him about it back in Provo?
And it's awesome. His reaction was so genuine, right? He's like, yeah. And then he went out and they're like, nope, you've got to go back in. But yeah, we had some other great conversations in the locker room that we'll post on our BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel, and we'll air several of those coming up tomorrow. But good energy in the locker room, Spence. We saw, as everyone else saw, the first 15 minutes of practice. BYU feeling good, man. Kevin Young said at the podium a few minutes ago as well, hey, maybe we're still the Cinderella because we were picked ninth in the Big 12, and here we are in the Sweet 16. Going to be fun today. You got Arizona has already practiced, and Alabama's going to practice, and then Duke. So this is a heck of a regional to be at here in New Jersey.
In many ways, BYU is the Cinderella. You think about it. It's a one seed, a two seed, a four seed, and then the six seed, BYU.
Arkansas is the lowest seed to make it to the Sweet 16. They're a 10. But they're Arkansas with John Calipari and the SEC. Like, BYU, being a 6, is tied with Ole Miss as the second lowest, worst, whatever, seed to be in the Sweet 16. BYU's not supposed to be here, but if you look at the way BYU's played the last 12, they absolutely deserve to be here. Like we talked about, since February 12th, BYU is 4th in efficiency margin. The top 3 and number 5 are the 1 seeds. BYU is playing like a 1 seed right now since February 12th.
Our question of the day is as follows. What does this BYU team have to do to become the best team in program history? We gave you our opinions early in the show. Jeremy, you feel like they probably need to get to the Final Four?
Yep.
That will make it undoubtedly the best
team in BYU
history.
That,
that is the clear indicator. And lots of opinions coming in strong from both sides. Well, you know, notably, from our friend Cougar Stats, who pointed out that 81 team had 41 combined played NBA seasons on that roster.
Greg Kite, Fred Roberts, obviously Danny
Ainge.
Like, that is a lot.
Yeah.
We're going to say later, Yegor Demin, Richie Saunders, TBD, others.
How many NBA seasons they combined for. But if you go to the Final Four, that feels like the clear winner of the argument.
And I want the following to end this week. If BYU could go to the Final Four, the most appearances in the NCAA tournament without a Final Four. That's BYU. That speaks to the consistency of BYU getting to this tourney, but it also speaks to they've never made that huge run to the Final Four. That could happen this week. That could happen this week.
At Dye_Tetmer on X answers.
Is that James Dye and Ty Detmer? What is that combo?
If BYU beats Bama, in my book, that does it. Getting to the Elite Eight.
Okay.
Difficulty of the schedule. 68-team tournament was another factor that was brought up by many of you compared to the 48-team tournament back in 81. He continues. That's tied with the best the BYU team has done before, speaking of the Elite Eight. Yes, but they did it in a power conference and tied for third in that conference. The teams BYU had to play to get here are much higher caliber teams overall.
Compared to what, 81?
Yes.
UCLA was pretty good in the second round.
Notre Dame was
pretty good.
In the tournament, but I think they're saying the regular season.
In the regular season? Yeah.
The conference.
Yeah, no, the WAC was good, no doubt, but it wasn't what the Big 12 is now. So, but here's the thing. I don't know that we're even going to factor in the regular season in this convo later much. It's going to be, how do they perform in the tourney? And if BYU is going to match 81, they have to win tomorrow against 2-seed Alabama because BYU beat 2-seed Notre Dame on an incredible play by Danny Ainge. So it's going to be fun, and this is a great conversation. I love it.
Our Elite Voice of the Day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. Also coming in on X from @cookies9 answers, already one of the best.
Yep.
Final Four to be the best. Regardless, what an amazing season and team this is. Love our Cougs. Today's Rise and Shoutouts presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about Cougar Nation, of course, showing up at the airport to send off the boys at Duncan Aviation yesterday. They're excited to be here. There's good energy from the guys we talked to. We talked to Kevin Young earlier in the program. He has some history in the area-ish, being with the Philadelphia 76ers and coaching in the G League with the Delaware 87ers as well. And so there's going to be a lot of blue in the building, some of which is going to be Duke, a lot of which is going to be BYU.
A lot of the players that we just spoke to in the locker room mentioned the send-off specifically as such an emotional boost. Kaba Kata, Down Hall, and Kevin Young talked about it in his press conference, just the gathering and the support of something like that to go back to the airport, not just to welcome them home after a big win, but to send them off again.
They're feeling it. They're using that to their advantage, and they have a massive game coming up tomorrow. I can't wait for the show tomorrow on game day, too.
Let's go. Our thanks to today's guest, AJ DiBonsa. And I loved his critique of Kevin Young's dancing, by the way. Also, Jeff Chapman, BYU basketball legend and Alabama native.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. For Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout out to Richie Webb, another Richie. He played on that 81 team.
Okay.
See you tomorrow back here in Newark at the Sweet 16. Go Cougs!